This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Mr. Marvin Gaye and the Eco Song. Thanks for joining me, and hopefully you've had a good week and the holiday is starting off good. I hope you all drink and drive responsibly, or at least drive responsibly. I'm sure most of you won't drink and drive, not the listeners that listen to me, because they want to hear what's coming next week. So, been a lot of things that happened, and last week I tried to talk about a few things, but there's only so much time. I look back and then reflecting back on when I initially started this effort, 1 hour was a vast area to fill, and within the 15 minutes I'd run out of information, and a panic look on my face as I look at the clock. Now, 2 hours is not enough. So anyway, you're probably saying, yes, it is, more than enough, but we understand. But anyway, hope some of you had a chance to see what was going on over with the helicopter crash there in March 29th of this year, Marine CH-53. And I want to lay, I'm going to talk about that and many of things, and talk about our public safety and our government agencies and the responsibility and how they handle these things. And you might find some of it to be humorous and the other part of it sad. And the most threatening part of it is that it seems to be the standard mode of operation in this town for all parties. No one in government seems to fear any repercussions for failing the public or breaching the public trust. No one. I'm learning that that is probably what's lacking. There is no one carrying a big stick, and I don't believe in violence, but I do believe either a big stick or a big shovel to scoop them up, and you know what you do with waste or people that don't want to serve. And we pay them handsomely, so they should be doing the job. But the funny part about this is that when we take the sandbar, this incident, I am saddened, because when I was a soldier in the Army, United States Army, I felt that I was doing something for my country. I joined before I got out of high school, and without even the knowledge of my parents or my mother and my grandmother, because I didn't want anybody to discourage me. And this was during the time of Vietnam. And I still admire the military and understand we need them, because there are forces out there that don't respect freedom. They demonstrate it daily, and that's not to say that we, the American people, are perfect, and we're far from being perfect, as we can see in our daily behavior. So I'm having mixed emotions. The other part of this, in this discussion, is that a young man gave his life, and the others were injured. And not to mention the taxpayers' money that was lost, but it was an accident. This was not a plan, I don't think so, and I don't want to go there. I'm not paranoid. I don't believe that anybody planned this particular crash. So it was an accident, a horrible accident, sad occasion, and an event that probably maintenance, we don't know what the cause is. So this isn't about the military and the hatred of military, and they should leave, or both. I don't engage in that behavior, because that military having that affords me an opportunity to sit here and talk about the things that I believe I have a right to talk about, and you have a right to hear them, and so forth and so on. So, and in this case, what I would say, this helicopter crash took place. It was an accident. Something that happened. What I will go beyond that and say and point out that individuals, this helicopter had radiation, components with radiation, the IBIS. And there was approximately six of them. And I have to tell you, I'm speaking from research that I've done, and based on some information that we received from anonymous sources who were close to that situation. And for 5 months, they observed the cover-up, the neglect, the contaminated soldiers, the all kinds of things that just reeked of cover-up. And now, it was on the base, that would be one thing. If the helicopter had crashed within the confines of the military reservation, that would be understandable. The public might have a right to know, but I understand there could have been many of things, maneuvers or something could have been going on that shouldn't be disclosed, understanding that. But this incident, or this accident, occurred in state waters, in an area that is frequented by recreation types, swimmers, divers, snorkelers, sunbathers, drinkers, you know, whatever, boaters and all. And a lot of these people are young. So in this case, it should have been disclosed that because it was an accident, and I don't believe the military had a right to place a gag order on its people or anyone, and preventing them from telling or disclosing, at minimum, to the State Department of Land and Natural Resources and the Health Department, who would be responsible for responding. I'm informed that initially the emergency responders, the City and County of Honolulu Fire Department, this is information now that I've received, and so far, I'm batting 1,000. Everything that was told to me is proven to be accurate. So I wrote the city and county of Honolulu and asked them, because some of their people there were static about, they weren't told by the military that there was radiation aboard that vessel or that aircraft that crashed. And I wrote and I spoke to Captain Silva, wrote them some questions on Monday of last week, and had hoped to get that information, but there seems to be, I share a little secret or trick that a lot of these agencies will do. They'll drag their feet out and, okay, we're going to send you something. And what they resort to is a tactic that is, it's sneaky. So about 4:15 on Friday, I get a call from the captain's office and the secretary's asking me, how do I wish to have this information, their answers to me, sent by email or fax? Well, I fax it to them, so you could fax it, but it's at the last minute. So anyway, to date, I've still yet to receive anything, but she mailed it or emailed it to me at the midnight hour, and I made sure that she had my right email address. So this is the kind of things that go on, and even though it is true that first responders were concerned and were exposed, for some reason, the city and county of Honolulu wishes to also show a respect for their fellow government entities, whatever that means. So I'll wait, and it will be belated when delayed, but if whatever answers they give me, I'll share those with you. And it was specific about there was a meeting that took place between the city and county of Honolulu to discuss the lack of notification. But again, that was confirmed by this fire department, but yet nothing in writing. So we take this craft and it crashes. And what the original information that I got was that someone from that squadron where that plane was assigned or that copter was assigned to approached the Marines Civilian Environmental Department. The Marine has its own environmental department staffed with civilians and headed by a active duty military person, Captain Derek George. And what I'm told, and I'm going to spell it out to you so you can understand, and I'm doing this for, there's a couple of knuckleheads out there that think that when they see these things and it becomes, it's an invitation to write a response to the newspaper in their little comment sections with the anonymous, the big man hiding behind the little small Manini name. But a lot of the knuckleheads believe that from my looking into this would be is wrong. So tune in and stay to this, listening to this show, and you'll understand what I think about your comments on that. And what happened was, I'm told by the sources that Mr. James or Jim Sibley, who's a training person for that squadron, flight training or the equivalent, approached Ron Yamada, who was a civilian employee for the Marines, and Yamada then escorted him to introduce him to Randall who in turn introduced him to Carolyn Irvin, who was acting as the deputy or is the deputy director of the Environmental Services Department, because Mr. George, or Captain George, or whatever the title is, was absent. And present were others, the law enforcement, this is the information we're told, Gordon Olivar was present. And somehow, through the exchange of information, there was a decision not, this is during the March 30th a.m. or midday meeting. Now, again, I'm sharing with you, giving you, trying to recap this and share with you, so you see how these things unfold and what you and I as a civilian community have to deal with and why it is so important that we take this one and not let it go. Because if it is true that there was only a small amount of radiation and nobody needs to worry, then why the big cover-up? Because any drunkard would know that the more you cover up, and no matter how small it is or whatever, it will eventually come out, and the consequences are greater because, and the implications are greater, and the indictment is greater, because then you are hiding from the public something that was minuscule, something that was irrelevant, as you may have described it now 5 months later after it's been exposed. So somehow there was a need to place a secrecy over this, and God, I hope that when it's time, whatever their maker is, whoever they get to cash in when the bell ring for them, that they can explain how ridiculous that they have behaved in allowing people to go out and wade, swim, snorkel, fish, and expose themselves to potential. But what is even worse than that, they sat back and allowed their co-workers, active duty military and others, to go out there and try and retrieving this contaminated material, this irradiated isotopes. They had no gloves. They had no eyewear. They chose not to do that because if media is looking, someone might ask, well, why do you have the protective gear? Why are you in white suits? Why of all of this? So instead, they inflated a raft. And again, this is what was told to me in the initial stages, and I've since gone back and worked backwards and reinvented this, so to speak, and documented. This is exactly what happened. So they inflate this emergency raft, and you can see pictures of that on my website, carolcox.com, and carolcox.com. And if you look there, you'll see an orange raft. Well, they recovered the people, so you didn't really need a raft. But the raft was to conceal the recovery of the IBIS system, the in-flight blade inspection system that contains the strontium 90. So people were handling that, and people were standing around it not knowing. But the environmental department knew, and so did others knew about this. But they didn't disclose. So I then wrote a letter to Mr. Krauss, well, actually to the public relations and over there at the Marines, based on what I had, and wanted some questions. As a courtesy, as a professional, and I told them that I'm going to be discussing this on air, and I want to inform the public all about this. Well, that was Monday. I didn't get any answers. Telephoned them. Major Krauss would be available, but he was not. Major Krauss, Alan Krauss is his name, Director of Public Affairs. I think he's been around too long. I've dealt with him on other occasions over the years, and I think it's about time for him to go. He's become entrenched here, and he's just not, in my opinion, haven't been forthright and honest and respectful of myself or the public. And so I'm going to share with you how this falls out. So I send a letter asking the basic questions, and I'll share some of those questions with you. And there's a Lieutenant Olson, very nice, polite person. Thank you, forward me an email, contact to the website for the press releases. And no problem. So I'm promised that I'll get an answer. Well, I never got an answer, so I called. And then I'm told, I can't talk to you. You need to talk to Major Olson, Major Krauss. Put me on hold for about 5 minutes and come back. Well, I'm sorry, Major Krauss is not available because he just come from the gun range, and he's cleaning up right now. But he'll call you right back. Well, Major Krauss to this day has yet to call me back. So then I call him a couple of times, never received anything. So follow this. This tactic or strategy of this Marine operative is to keep you and I dumb, and then when we make a statement, they rush to the media and say, that's not accurate. You know, we're working on their answers. Well, it took you 5 months to get caught. Now it's going to take you another 5 years to come out and tell us the truth. So we manufacture and invent our own answers as factual as we can get them, as you know, because there's a cover-up now. It's not about lying anymore. It's about covering up. It's about sending out messages. If Carol Cox called, do not talk to him. And I know that to be the fact. So, now Major Crouch he's been around there for a while. And it's funny, when I ask the questions, and being respectful and send them a list of questions, they don't answer. When other media send questions, and more specific, and I'm the one who discovers this and finds it and writes him first, he ignores me. So he then sends a lame, what I describe best, a lame response. Aloha, Mr. Cox. Marine Corps Base, Corps Base Hawaii, takes its obligation to protect personnel, the public, and the Aina, very seriously. Boy, they sure know how to become smooth-tongued and fit in. I don't know which is should be appreciated, the way they talk of the camouflage fatigue that they wear. Nevertheless, it's chameleonic. Our first responsibility after the tragic mishap on March 29th was the rescue of personnel in the downed helicopter. Rescue responders included the Marine Corps Base, Hawaii, waterfront operations, and keep waterfront operations in mind, listeners, aircraft from the U.S. Coast Guard and Army, and the Honolulu Fire Department, as well as another CH-53D from MCAS. Almost immediately, base personnel placed a floating containment balloon around the site to prevent the spread of petroleum fluids. Shortly thereafter, base and squadron personnel, with assistance from Navy, Coast Guard, and state personnel, began the process of recovering the remains of the helicopter while an aviation mishap board conducted its investigation. During the recovery effort, some aircraft components were found to have low level of contamination. All materials found to be contaminated or decontaminated or appropriately contained here on the base. All personnel involved in the handling of any contaminated material were screened to verify they were not contaminated. The low levels of radiation previously detected posed no significant health or environmental risk and were not of a reportable quantity. The site on the sandbar where the helicopter rested was inspected both during and after the salvage and recovery of the aircraft as a precautionary measure. No radiological contamination was found at the site. So that was his answer to me. And very generic, evasive. And I just can't begin to tell you how offensive that is. But I'm going to be a big boy and keep my nose to the ground and looking for the tracks, because I'm surely not going to get them from these dudes. So in order to come back and share with you, the public, and also to protect the environment. But note, they say they had a boom to protect the fuel. Well, the fuel is going to affect fish, invertebrates and the plants, and what have you, and turtles or whatever, and that's fine. But what about I would also like to have known about the radioactive materials that would affect the human beings that would be out there. But even 5 months later, after telling them and bringing it to their attention and exposing it, they still wish to lie and be evasive. So I wrote him back a letter, and I'm not going to bore you with all of the details, but I have to tell him, and I want to thank you for your response to my questions. Although I appreciate your answer, I must inform you that it can only be described as evasive and does not answer the questions I posed. I extended you the courtesy of providing detailed questions and hope that you would respond accordingly. The vague answers you provided here is woefully inadequate and does not address any of the points raised in my questions. And I'm again submitting my questions to you. And I respectfully ask that you provide specific answers, as I will be discussing it, as again I've reminded him. And I believe that at this point we are only having this discussion because initially your agency failed to act responsibly by being transparent and open. Transparent and open. This letter is just more of the same evasive behavior on the part of the Marine Corps. Now, some of you might say, well, I wouldn't answer you either with that tone. Well, I'm not asking for favors or flavors. I'm asking radioactive isotopes laying out there in the environment. This has a half-life of 29 years. For some of you that are not familiar with the story, this strontium-90 has similar characteristics as calcium and is absorbed in the bones, find its way in the bones. So you get contaminated, and you, in turn, don't know. Now, as this thing is unfolding, I'm not disclosing to them what all I have, because you never, ever tell the military, if you call them up for a question, don't tell them everything, because you're just going to get one massive lie. So always hold back, and if they're willing to answer, then going to be honest with the few questions you ask. That will determine the pace at which you work, or you should if you deal with them. Ask the question, but keep something to gauge whether they're lying to you or going to cover up or what have you. So, again, this is how, you know, he beat around the bush on contamination of individuals and what have you. This is really, really sad. Now, Krauss decided to let this go and do his thing, but in answering others, he disclosed some information that was specific while saying that there were no contaminants and not they were minuscule in dealing with me. Good morning, colleague. Come in a question.
Yeah, I just, I've been following this myself. In what form is the, I don't know the intricacies of the use of the strontium on this helicopter. Is it in a powder form, pellets? Is it encased? And I don't know what its function is. Because of the crashes, possibly that it was broken loose or exposed.
Mm-hmm.
If that happened, because I'm wondering about the crew and the mechanics who work on these helicopters constantly, are they continually being exposed, or is the strontium in a unit that is protected from exposing helicopter personnel and mechanics at work on the rotors and whatnot? So I'm not sure of what the particular item is that contains the strontium, where by the crash it broke open and so was exposed, would be exposed, or it's protected such that it can withstand a crash.
Mm-hmm.
These are questions that I wasn't sure
mm-hmm.
of, because mm-hmm. I'm sure all these high performance jets and all dark aircraft have radioactive elements in there. And mechanics do work on and pilots fly, so I don't know what kind of protection they have from a secondary exposure from these pieces of equipment installed in aircraft, military units. Thank you. I'm not sure of the specifics. Thank you.
Well, like you, I was in the dark, but fortunately there are some honest people in the military, too, so I don't want to sit here and demonize. I want to make it clear that it's this Major Alan Crouch who has repeatedly, and I can lay it out to you, the man comes into neighborhood board meetings and he shakes hands and he smiles and he will lie to you quicker than he would say good morning. And he will then prolong that and inflict further injury by insulting. I don't know what criteria he uses to determine or discern whether he answers my questions or whether it's somebody from the other media sources. But if I ask you a question, I think you owe me an obligation. You are obligated to answer me or tell me go pound sand, and I can then not be sitting waiting. But I'm going to share some specifics with you now that he failed to answer in my list of questions, but these are questions that I helped formulate through other sources that wrote it. And basically it was, and you got to listen to this. This is beat around the bush. This is why, if nothing else, Maisie Hirono, Pauline Hanabusa, Governor Neil Abercrombie, and others must ask them to replace this man or do something. Make him take a ego-desensitive training or something. Something's wrong with this man's ego when it comes to being fair-minded with the public. The question was, we're getting reports that a Marine or civilian who responded to the crash was found to have strontium 90 inside of his body. Is this correct? While I can't report on individuals' private medical records, all personnel involved in the recovery exposed to low-level contamination were interviewed and appropriately evaluated. What does that mean? Appropriately evaluated. Okay. Given the small amount of potential contamination, if anyone exposed were contaminated, it would be very minimal, roughly similar to the radiation from two chest x-rays. Well, you know, I spoke with a friend, and this is, and shared the same response to a friend, and this is what she said. What these chest x-rays are you talking about? Are they Dolly Parton type chest x-rays or Mae West chest x-rays? When we talk in these terms, why explain it in this fashion when you can say, we tested it by using Geiger counters and here are the specific readings? See, beating around the bush. This has nothing to do with military or anything. This is an arrogant man who walks around, have paraded himself to keep furthering a lie upon the community. This was state property, state waters, people go there to recreate, and he felt that, whatever reason, he obviously wasn't doing it to protect military personnel because he's put them in harm's way. So that's why I'm saying it's arrogance on his part. The second question was, in addition, the person who was found to have, you follow this one now, you gotta hear this one. This is what really causes my blood to boil. In addition, the person who was found to have strontium 90 inside of his system had part of his car cut out because of contamination. Is this correct? Here's Crouch's answer. No, it's not correct. It wasn't a car. During the recovery efforts, one compromised in-flight blade inspection system, the IBIS, caused low-level contamination of some aircraft components to contact with the IBIS. Listen, a pickup truck was used to transport some of these components, was found to have some contamination in a hinge area that was not readily decontaminated. So part of its back end was removed for containment. Well, it wasn't a car, it was a truck. You see, if we had that kind of contamination, that seems to be more than a chest x-ray. And if that much contamination of radioactive isotopes made its way from the site, which he describes as unreportable limits and low levels, how in heck did he justify or can he explain that secondarily, a tertiary, that down the road, several steps removed from that area, they're having to take trucks apart? And we apologize for asking. The information we had was it was a car, but, you know, we can't be all accurate when you're dealing with the military, you know. Three. We are getting reports that a large chunk of cement at Marine Corps Base, Hawaii, was dug out because of contamination. Is this true? Answer. Although the low levels of radiological contamination detected pose no significant health or environmental risk due to rigorous standards set by the Navy and Marine Corps policy and our interest in public health and the environment, Marine Corps Base Hawaii did mitigate all contamination as low as reasonably achievable. Then he gives an acronym. As part of the mitigation, approximately 65 square feet of asphalt was removed from an area where contaminated components were temporarily located and isolated, then placed in drums for containment and disposition. Thorough inspections were done at all aircraft component locations, both during and after the recovery and salvage operations, to confirm there was no remaining contamination. As a result of the March 29th CH-53D mishap, there was no radiological contamination of Ahualaka, a Kaneohe Bay sandbar. First responders were not contaminated, since there was no contamination at the rescue site. Wow. So if there was no contamination at the rescue site, but the workers from the rescue site removed contaminated materials and transported them to the water ops pier, maybe a mile away or 2 miles away, and deposited them in the raft and set the raft on the cement. The raft was hot and with radiation, and the components in the raft contaminated the cement. But yet, it didn't contaminate those same components that were damaged out there in the water, didn't contaminate that area, but it did contaminate the pier, where they had to dig up 65 feet and then have to take apart a truck. This guy seems to be a prime candidate to run the CIA, not the public relations firm, but unfortunately, I suspect you'll see him serving as an advisor when he retires, as one of our senatorial advisors, or because he knows how to keep the public at bay and in the dark. The sad part about this, people can get hurt. People can be sickened. The environment, these plants, the seaweeds and the seagrasses and what have you, can take these things up, the rooted ones can take these things up, this radioactive isotope. So someone coming along foraging for limu, unsuspectingly ingesting it. So I couldn't get these answers. Mr. Cross, I guess I don't show on his Geiger counter or something. I'm not radiating intelligence or something. Something's wrong here, but time and time again, we look at the amphibious machine that sank out there at Bellows. They ran me off the beach, and I'm in a public beach area photographing, but I couldn't do it. But then he can let the general public come in and the other media come in and photograph it. Set up press release, press conferences. So you figure it out why he... We had a public meeting with the Waimanalo community that was scheduled. We show up from the community with the Kupuna and others and the children, and they show up with German Shepherds in their dog in their cars. You see, so this is the major crowds that he's doing a good job. Someone appreciates his style and his tactics. So... In answering the caller's question about the contaminants and how they were affixed to the helicopter, I'll describe it at the base of the IBIS, the in-flight blade inspection system, has this small amount of strontium 90, and then what happens, it's encapsulated in a protective tubing. And its purpose, as best I can describe it, and I'm not going to pretend to be a flight technician or anything, but in my readings, what happens, it's used to as a sensor, in a part of a sensing mechanism or device that would signal the pilot that pressure or in the rotor blades is diminishing or losing pressure, or there's a crack or fracture, or there is some compromise to the integrity of this flight system. There's also these vessels or crafts are equipped with the de-icers, and they have about 50 microcuries, and the each component, and this is again gleaning from just an earlier information taken from an earlier crash in Okinawa in 2004. That's not to say what happened in Okinawa is exactly the same situation, the scenario, as it occurred in Kaneohe Bay. So I have to speak with caution there and don't want to mislead you. So that's the kind of thing. And so when the craft goes down, it hits the ground, or if the blades are the cause of it, then that blade is thrown or what have you, and it compromises the integrity of the system, each little component. And I guess I don't know how, as I say, I don't want to speak to the technicalities of it, but nonetheless, it's originally contained and it describes it. And if you go to carolcox.com, you can see the I've posted what we got from the Navy's Nav Air website talking about this. It gives the full thing. Now, they have to have a federal permit from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And so, and it spells it out what they're supposed to do. But I want to share with you, we are in a very precarious position as public people. If you think you should be worried about the other people coming in and attacking us and sneaking on us and harming us, you can have equivalent harm with this kind of behavior and cover-up. People could, supposedly, there is some serious release out there, and they told no one. What's the difference between a guy, as we describe him, with the beard and wearing a robe, coming here and speaking with an accent? What's the difference? It still attacks the quality of life here in America, and that's what we're supposed to be protecting. But if amongst us, our own is lying to us and withholding information, that's a sad commentary, and it needs to be explored and asked, how do we get to this point? What's the big secret? And so I contacted the NRC, and where they're supposed to report, and then that manual that's on the website, it tells you, tell them they must call, and it has specific conditions, they must report it. Well, I call up and talk to the young lady, and she tells me, okay, we'll look at the records and we'll get back to you. She called me back, and she promised to send the records and the report, and she began to tell me, well, they didn't file a written report. They only file a verbal report. Well, when did they file the verbal report? Oh, I can't tell you that. Well, was it on this date? I can't say anything about that. Why can't you say anything about that? Because you're media, and we can't talk to the media. Well, what if I call back as a citizen? Can you tell me then? No, we can't tell you. This is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. These are the checks and balances. So can you sleep on that one? Can you relax on that one and trust that this big machine is really out to looking for the enemy? Or are they looking out for themselves or looking out for their careers or don't want to make? But I believe that all the way down from Captain Derek George, Carolyn Irvine, and all of them, there should be reprimand. There should be consequences placed on them. Now, we know that the DLNR responded and the health department responded to this, all because I filed a complaint. And that purpose of that complaint was I had to rush and get it out. And I don't know how factual this is, but I had been informed that there was a consideration by the Marines to do a preemptive press release, meaning They were going to beat it to the press before me. So at 10:30, I'm packing out a letter to Mr. Gary Gill and Mr. Iyer on a Thursday night or a Wednesday night or whatever it was, and asking them to conduct an inspection. Well, when I went to those offices, no one had been told about this, okay? No one. But here's the other side of the coin, and this might be even more frightening. And I hope I can walk you through this and describe it to you, because through learning this process and hearing it and realizing what's out there in the bay and what has transpired, I'm nervous, because we're dealing with an unknown. So I proceed to ask, does anybody have any knowledge of this from the state? Nope, they never called us. So, okay, could I have a report? We don't have a report. Okay, so I'll write you a letter and asking you to investigate. Then the health department proceed, and its people in the staffing proceed to say, well, we can't do anything about that because it didn't meet the reportable quantity. Stop. What do you mean by the reportable quantity? Did they report to you? No. Well, then how do you know what quantity was out there? We don't. So what's this reportable quantity limit? Shouldn't you at least inquire of them to know what the readings were? Well, no, because we don't have jurisdiction over that. We don't have authority. There's nothing in our regulations that require us to do that or require them to report to us. You see the lies? These are the people that's protecting you. These are the people that, if you read Saturday morning's paper, it says that the Kaneohe Bay is clean. These are the same people that when I call up, and there's one other little tidbit about this case, there's an apartment complex that in the same information that we got, we are informed that one of the soldiers was contaminated. So was his car in transporting this material from the waterfront, water ops pier to the hangar. And his car was contaminated. He went and washed his car at the Kohlani complex downtown on Queen Street. And there was contamination in the wash rack. So instead of saying, well, thank you, Mr. Cox, we're on our way down there. No, I get in this debate, well, how do you know that there was a car wash there? How do you know this? This is the state health department. Lynn Nakasone. This gentleman, Eckhart, that stood on TV. And I tell you what, I would rather see Barney Fife with a Geiger counter than to see this guy. Because Barney, you know what you're getting there. This guy was acting smart and standing there and repeating the same thing, that he hadn't received any reports from the federal government, from the military, but he's stating it was at low levels. But he don't know what the low levels. And you see, when we speak of levels, there's generally two types of levels. There's the residential level and there's the industrial level. So I would think where children play and recreate and people eat and gather food, that would be the lowest level that you would be concerned with and really be concerned about the health. So they don't bother to explain. This is a health department. These are the people that we're paying. And if you really want to trust or not trust what it is, go back and look at that picture. On the back of their T-shirts, they all got great T-shirts. I swear to you, I thought I was watching that movie, You've Been Punked. Now, Mr. Iyer did an excellent job. There's nothing I can say bad about him, because given his men arrived there, the boat was there, the transport, he's there responding. But his backup, the health department, under Gary Gill, sent Barney Fife and his crew out there to stand there and tell you that it was all safe, when in fact the Geiger counters that we used were inappropriate devices. It would not detect anything subsurface, and it would only detect on the surface. So did they go out there thinking that the stuff would be floating on the surface and they would, right? How many tides? It's been 5 months. Did he think that he'd actually walk out there and, oh, there's some radiated material floating? It was so sad to watch this unfold, But then, on the other hand, a picture's worth a thousand words. In this case, it's worth a billion. It tells the whole story. That you and I are left naked. We're unprotected. We're not being protected. We're being lied to by both the military and the people that would generally regulate them. Now, they may tell you, we don't have authority on a military base. Well, true. Maybe that is true. But you do have authority in state waters and state lands. And you were invited by the state chairman, Mr. Ayala. He invited you out. So they arrived to perpetuate a lie. They didn't know where the crash site was, number one. We never really found the crash site, and I purposely walked out there, and some would say, well, why did you do that? Because I'm willing to sacrifice that part of me to say enough is enough already. So the method in which they searched was not an organized method. They walked in a straight line and they walked back, holding the Geiger counters, praying that they didn't get wet. But on the back of their shirt it says, good to go. This is a professional agency now, tasked with protecting the welfare and the environment and the health of the people, and they're walking around with t-shirts on, good to go. I want to know where you got your certification at. I want to say that when, instead of buying t-shirts that say good to go and little green booties, that if you look at that, I'm sorry, I just cannot believe that they showed up in public looking like that with booties that fit around their ankles practically. What were they going to do? Protect them from the high tide? They stepped in the water and immediately the tide was over the boots. Now, I'm not making fun of this, folks, but I'm trying to convey to you, we are about 1 hour away from, metaphorically, standing against a wall. We might as well be taken out back and shot because they're killing us so slowly and softly. That's what they're doing, and it's shameful. So I'm going to come back in the next hour, and I'd like to hear from you, and also I'd like to invite some of those guys, those real strong guys who really got no huevos, and they sneak to the websites and the newspaper and write comments. You know, stand up, be counted. Nobody's going to take it out on you, but we could have a healthy debate. So I'll be right back on the second hour, and tune in, 524-1080, if you'd like to call in later.
Hey, what's up, man? You know we've got to find a way.
for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, second half. And if you'd like to call in, I'd like to hear from you. 524-1080, if you have, if it's radiating out there. And then I play that song just to remind us all, we talk about how strong and how free we are and how righteous we are and on and on and on, and we care about others. You and I owe it to, you hear that little young voice there, that's what it's about. If ever you want to know what motivates me, it's because I've had a good life as a child and as an adult here in this country. I don't believe it is a good sight to see a full, strong, upright, robust American with the legs tucked between the legs. It is just, not what we as Americans are. We don't tuck our tails between our legs for the enemy or for our government or from our military. And if you do, then you are either a coward or you're shirking the responsibility which you have as a leader of the family, of the Corps. So let's stand up. And as unpalatable as it may sound that I sit here and talk like this, you cannot have an excuse or justify the behavior of the military in this crash and the behavior of Alan Krauts, Major Alan Krauts, in this behavior. You can't. So when I see a person, a citizen of this country, walking upright and proud and his tail tucked between his leg or her leg, then that's not an American, in my opinion. Forget the politics. You and I need to sound off on, if not this one, other things, to find out that radiation, and mind you, whatever it takes to make our soldiers safe for anyone, that is, by the way, one of the people that called me was motivated to tell this because they felt that it was not an honorable thing and it did not respect that young man that perished in that crash. I just let that share that with you. Some of you probably, well, what was the motivation? Some of them got mad. No. There were a number of complaints or complainers, anonymous sources, so I guess that's what they say, simplify. Some people are not going to tuck the tail at any cost. So anyway, don't want to offend you, any of you, but your tail is supposed to wag and stand straight and tall, and you're looking to see who you can bite when they're violating you. That's the way I see it. That's why I call myself the watchdog and not the lapdog. So anyway, I want to close with this little bit on this radiated material, and it's far from over. I am going to be filing a formal complaint with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, even though the receptionist or whomever it is was reluctant to give me any information. I'm still going to exhaust those avenues and take that path, and then I'll go to the EPA and file, and that way, at minimum, we will flesh out these people that walk around with little green booties on, going to walk on lava. I just wonder if they had to go and take samples from the lava, what would they wear? Probably show up with T-shirts that say "Good to Roast." You know, I'm sorry. This picture is etched in my mind indelibly. I've never seen anything so shameful as it was supposed to be a professional effort. It was shameful that men in little green booties, to keep their feet dry, would wear them, and they were just above their ankle. And one thing, I guess, each of them had their names printed on the booties, by the way. So I guess they suspected that the water would be too deep in case one of them drowned or something, they would be able to know who it was. Because it didn't serve purpose, you know. And to be honest with you, when you're wearing boots like that in water, you're more likely to fall and damage your not waterproof Geiger counters than anything. So it was just it was a show, and I think that Gary Gill should be ashamed of himself to have even allowed that. But what I think it was, and this is the other part of this, they weren't worried about proving that. The DLNR, I believe that he definitely will be looking at this. I have no doubt. But Gary Gill, to send those men out there equipped like that, first of all, he knew that it wasn't going to detect anything. That's a given. But put a show on so that you can turn around and lie and tell the public it's safe when you didn't really test the entire area, if you would call that a test. So that's rule two that was broken of common sense. They weren't equipped, number one, and they didn't do a, I wouldn't call it scientific, but an organized search or screening. So it was only for show and tell. That was all it was. And to show the public that it, they didn't say it wasn't unsafe. They just say what we found. Well, then you couldn't find anything because the Geiger counters you used weren't the proper tooling. And these people just generally inspect businesses. They've never gone out and inspected the reef. Wouldn't even know where to begin. But they said, oh, the background registration of the it's nothing above that. Yeah, because you didn't walk around the whole area, so what does that mean? And again, what I attempted to tell Nakasone about this military, the cement that was there with contamination with the men, there was no interest. Well, and I'm going to get over there. We're going to go and interview these guys. And where is this cement is? No, I got argument. Where is this apartment building? I didn't get that. How do you know he washed a car at this place? You see, so the people that they're supposed to be protecting call them up and they want to argue with them or myself. And in Eckert, who on TV, you would have thought he was a Rhodes Scholar. The way he talked. But further, of this discussion with him, and in the when he stated, well, it wasn't a reportable limits, but this, the Navy had never reported anything to him, so he wouldn't know. So I asked, well, what are you basing the reportable limits on? Oh, information that we read. Well, where did you get the information from? From me, Carol Cox. So you're just making an assumption. These are the people that go around and check your food. Same health department. These are the same people that will not disclose when there's an outbreak of salmonella in grocery stores from rotten fish, or contaminated fish. They won't tell you which store it was. These are the same people that show up and tell you, well, there wasn't a reportable limit, but we don't know what the limit was, and we don't know what they're reading and what they detected. So if I was a betting man, I would say it's going to get worse before it get better, because there is no big stick. The director of the health department, Ms. Fuddy, is from that same ilk, from that same septic pile that sit there and make no excuses for businesses and for government and for military than anybody. She's been around for a long time. Now she is at the helm. Gary Gill, the environmentalist, activist, or whatever, the blue water favorite person, should be ashamed that he would sit and send them out in such a fashion. They weren't skilled. Not a single one of them read from a chart or read from a notepad that say, we need to go to these coordinates, the GPS coordinates that were provided to us by the DLNR, who was there and documented the crash and was there the day after the crash and who was exposed to this material. Now, you would think they would have showed up with some notes. They would have shared some notes. But no, they were so pressed for time to put a good scene. Because, see, this is a holiday. Yesterday was the beginning and of the 3-day holiday, or actually 4-day. Because Friday, some of the people are already out there. But that's the mindset of the people that are out protecting you. Good to go. Don't know where we're going. But probably to hell in a handbasket the way things are going, if this is what we got to rely on. And now, what would I have done? I would have contacted the Attorney General, and I would have gone to them and I would have said, we need you to write a letter to the Marine base, and we want you to immediately demand that they immediately cough up some money, equipment, manpower, and scour this place and give us an open book on every single action that was taken on this, freeing people like myself from having to ask these questions, and then knuckleheads going, well, Carol Cox should be working on papaya, and he's causing, there's bigger things than this, than, and the radiation is not a problem, and it's just causing taxpayers' dollars. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's the military who's riding up. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Comment.
Go for it. Turn your phone down.
This is so typical, and so I don't want to get too far off the subject, and, so I'll be very brief, but I've got a stack, probably 2 inches thick of documents of old newspaper articles and magazine articles collected from many, many different places
mm-hmm.
about this policy, but I'll come back to Hawaii mostly. And for instance, over several years in Kipapa area,
mm-hmm.
That was all top secret for a long while, and there were 10 separate leaks along the 16-mile pipeline that connected the military, their Kipapa storage facilities, to Hickam, and they had a 300,000-gallon aviation fuel leakage and another 20,000 spill, 50,000 and 200,000 aviation fuel leaked under the Kipapa stream bed. And it goes on and on. I won't list them all, but then this was all top secret. And therefore, a developer built some communities in that area, you know, not knowing. Then we got the, since 1954, right here, the military has dumped, the number is 4,843,000 gallons of radioactive liquid waste from the nuclear-powered submarines into Pearl Harbor. And then 2,189 55-gallon drums of radioactive solid waste just 55 miles off from Pearl Harbor. And there is all kinds of chemicals in, for instance, around Waimanawa from Delos. And we're talking about, I got a list of some of the substances, uranium, plutonium, mercury, cyanide, arsenic, nerve gas, biological warfare compounds, and so on. And so these things are all dumped in our ocean, and communities on the mainland are, you know, they're beginning to feel it there. So it's just kind of a policy that seems to be, I think what happens is the retired military gets jobs in working for these agencies and so on. Well, but anyway, so I'm not going to, because I want you to come back to your current issue, but I'm just saying that this is a policy and there's a lot happened. Really, really. Oh, and I got some documents, government documents, immediately as they knew World War was winding down, right here of the stuff that was chopped up and burned and buried and dumped in the ocean and so on, all the surpluses, because the military didn't want to know how much they had over-ordered, you know, mm-hmm. way beyond what they needed. And I got those are some government documents that I got. Anyway.
Well,
thanks for all your work.
If you'd like to, you can share some of those. Carol at carolcox.com, you can send me an email. Do you have anything in PDF file?
No.
Or can you mail some?
Pardon me?
Mail some by snail mail?
I'm going to look up some of those documents.
Okay.
And I'll try to email or send you by regular mail.
Alrighty.
My computer isn't working just right now, but...
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, anyway, I want to be very careful because, you know, there are people out there that say, oh, you're against the military. Oh, you're anti-military. No. I don't believe that if you own a gun, that you should leave it laying around the sidewalk. I don't believe if you're military and you're protecting us, you still have, and you're here to protect the home front and keeping the enemy from coming in and invading us, so don't poison us and then tell us, watch out for the enemy. You know, we want to be healthy and live. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Yeah, Carol, good topic. You know, I used to work at the Marine Aviation Club, you know. I retired, but... Anyway, concerned about the Marine Base, there's a segment on the news, I don't know if it was early, late last year, about the housing. They were making military housing. There was chlorine in the ground, and some of the wiser of the military were talking about, you know, safety, about the kids going in the backyard and picking up some dirt, put in, and, you know, young kids and whatnot, chlorine. Mm-hmm. The EPA says the levels are too high. And mm-hmm. the Navy said, no, it's okay. You know, their levels are, you know, mm-hmm. they're all right. You know, who you believe, so, you know, the EPA is the one that is a watchdog and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the Navy just said, oh, no, it's okay. And they start building these houses and, you know,
well,
it's ongoing.
Well, what it is that the reason the Navy say this is that with the aid of, you see, they're co-conspirators.
Uh-huh.
The other part of that conspiracy is the Department of Health.
Right.
We need to do an audit of the people and their background and the quality and the hazardous and the emergency response, because a lot of the activities show up in that office and they go silent,
right,
like the submarines, mm-hmm. you might well know. And when you and I go there as citizens to ask questions, you get this fancy answer.
Right.
But in this case, over at the military base, for example, the chlorodyne, mm-hmm. It's of certain levels, and it's residential levels, by the way, not industrial levels,
right,
of concern. So what they did was to say it's okay at that level because the average family won't live there more than 3 years, and then it's a rotation. But if they live there longer,
right,
that might be a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's playing loose and fancy with numbers and people's health.
Mm-hmm.
And they a great bit of that contaminated material went to the landfill at Imanawa Gulch,
right,
as cover dirt, and we have the same thing over at Actus Land Lease at the Hickam.
Uh-huh.
Same thing, but I've inquired about it, but it's hard to get a grip on it because you got the health department, the hazardous and emergency response office, sitting there playing games.
Uh-huh.
And jiggling numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The same kind of nonsense where this guy shows up. You worked over at the base, you say, and to stand there, this guy Eckert, and say, it's below the reportable levels, but he hadn't gotten a report of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
But where did that come from? You work for the government. How do we get, we start off being honest, at what point, what line, do we in a room and get contaminated with that kind of thinking to lie to the public or bamboozle the public? Where did it come from?
I guess it comes from the higher up, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, is it because the guy afraid to lose his job, or he's in too deep and enjoy the good travel and the prosperity or whatever?
I guess, you know, he gets elected during, he does all the public affairs. He's a major crowds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard you talk to anybody higher than Colonel Woods on the base?
Oh, no. These guys, when it comes to me, they'll only talk to the media. And I don't know why, but apparently they think I'm going to go away if they don't talk to me. And so I question their mindset and their integrity and their intelligence, because about right now they should know I haven't gone away and not plan on going away because they shun me.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I would say they're too bright for their own good, because if they hadn't figured it out now.
Yeah.
You know,
I was in the union, so when I can't deal with one person, I go next chain of command and just go keep going up.
Mm-hmm.
And I get an answer. And you know, that's what the military does. You go chain of command and go up.
Right. But they are supposed to, you know, that this layering the civilians in there was just to do that, to have oversight.
Mm-hmm.
So that a captain couldn't tell a lieutenant, cover that up.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that was the whole purpose. So all that has been overridden by some inside trickery in politics with the Krauses. And you know, and you take, for example, even though the theory was we'll put civilians in and civilians will be free from influence.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the environmental department, for example, and others, they keep a military person over them.
Right.
So it's a big lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll check with my U.S. representatives. I'll email them.
Please,
I know what's going on.
Please do. I think that Maisie Hirano and
Hanabusa
and Senator Dan Inouye, and that brings home the next question, as I've said many, many times.
Uh-huh.
It's fine to boast that you've brought a lot of pork back home in the form of military.
Right.
But you never hear Dan Inouye or Daniel Akaka or any of them say, but in the process of bringing them in, we've also brought oversight.
Uh-huh.
We've allocated millions for oversight. We've allocated hundreds of thousands for Geiger counters that can be used in water.
Uh-huh. You know, before I catch the fish to put you in Kanye Bay, I'll just get my Geiger counter and see if it's radiating.
You're kidding.
I want to make sure that fish is good.
Well,
hey, Carl, I wish you good luck, and I'll check on my representative.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. Wow. And now again, folks, the over there, there's some good parts of the program too. One of the rare bird colonies that we have of the Ulupau crater. So it's not all bad. But this guy Krause, when it comes to dealing with people like myself and others, I don't know what he sees that I don't see. But I'm here. Good morning. Come in a question, please.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I watched your report on this helicopter crash on the Louisville station, TV station, KHNL and KNLH TV.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great report, investigative reporting on your part. To my knowledge, what happened to them was about anyone calling them in and being critical of them broadcasting the report. So I don't know why they're giving you so much heat. Secondly, this radiation hazard was nothing but that. Why didn't they report it to the public and say so? You know, not to worry, it has happened, and, there's no safety hazard to the general public. Same type, similar accident occurred, according to part of the report that you gave on TV, was a helicopter crash, similar to this, occurred in Japan, and they immediately informed the public and investigated. So, again, I don't know why you gave so much heat on this. I hope you continue to do the investigative work that you do, and to inform the general public of the hazards that are going on here, that are created by the government, U.S. government, state, and municipal government.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally appreciate it, and I'm pretty sure other taxpayers, other citizens of the street appreciate it too.
Yeah, well, I may not have been, I should be a little more careful in the message I send out. First of all, I really don't give a care if the knuckleheads are out there and saying whatever they're saying. Obviously, I've had greater obstacles in life. It was just to convey to the public how dumbed down we are. But in doing so, they may not be knuckleheads. They may be geniuses who were told to send in a negative comment. So I just brought that out to share to people that, when people show up in little green booties with T-shirts that say good to go and Geiger counters that can't get wet and don't know where they're going and don't know what they're looking for and they're hoping that it's floating. I'm just saying to the whoever they are, I call them the knuckleheads, but they could be geniuses, like I say. It's just to fill a little space on the air. Other than that, I really don't care.
Well, it's not the city that you should be concerned about more traditional environmental issues. This is an issue that everybody should be concerned about. And why should you confine yourself to, to certain things? You know, you also report on political corruption here, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important. So, like I said, you're an American citizen. You have right to say that it was First Amendment, freedom of speech. And I'm glad that you emphasize that along with your expertise that you have been investigating. Because one of the last things we want is but you. And again, like I said, I don't take too much of your time. I personally appreciate everything that you do. And the rest of these taxpayers in the state should also appreciate it, too.
All right. Well, thank you. All righty. Well, the when you're sitting here in the studio, you could either be passive and docile and you can present a face of, and I got to tell you, there are times I'm so vulgar, you'd say, my God, does the boy know language or English? But the vulgarity rises when I'm offended by people who we put our trust in. And when I interact with them, and I become vulgar quite often, you know, quite naturally on air, I'm going to put on a different face, and it's okay. And I don't ever want to tell you that I'm perfect. My perfection has nothing to do with receiving a phone call from a concerned citizen who say, did you know that that helicopter that crashed contained radiated isotopes, strontium-90, and a number of people were impacted and affected. Now, only a fool would say to, well, you know, you can't care about Carol Cox because he's vulgar. He uses profanity. What does that have to do with anything? You know, I'm not defending myself, but I'm just trying to share with you, the listeners, this is how they keep us boxed in. This is how they can have incidences like this, and then in turn have no shame to further perpetuate the lie. You see, because they got us snagged on how we're supposed to behave when we approach them and catch them in a lie. Well, you have to be cordial. You have to be professional. No, you're a liar, and you violated our trust, and we want some answers. It's that simple. You know, this guy Krause, Derek George, they're over there behind the closed gate, and by now they've probably called up the Navy Intelligence Service and said, put him on the blacklist, and when he flies, fine, you know. And it's funny. The average person leaving Honolulu was worried about the radiation that they were receiving in the body scans. But the State Health Department tell you, you don't have to worry about what was dumped over there on the sandbar. 5 months later, you would think this guy Eckert and Lynn Nakasone would be going, we mad. We'd be mad right now. About right now, we'd be mad. We're blowing our stack. No, you don't get that attitude. You get can we get some green booties? And we're going to go take some Geiger counters and put on a show for the public so we can lie to the public. Somebody in that group should have said, this is ludicrous. All we're going to do is give a false sense of the security because we're not basing it on anything. There's no science. And even if they had found something out there with radioisotopes, I ask, well, what would be your plan? How would you have handled it? Right? We would have to, what are you going to do, walk back to the boat and get your protective gear and all of that, or how are you going to handle this? And by the way, if you find it, did you bring a canister that you can take it and isolate it and then transport it back safely? But by the way, there are other people on the boat, so did you bring a vessel that where you could separately carry that? You know, because other people have had their cars contaminated and the raft contaminated and 65 feet of concrete contaminated. How are you guys, if you had found something? You see the big lie that was being perpetrated on the public. So, Gary Gill, you owe us another one. You stood on Mount Everest at the Wabanala Gulch and declared it was safe and it was a natural storm and the EPA told you to do it. And we find out that was a lie. And then you stand on the rock at Ahualaka Sand and you tell us another lie. So we're going to have to take away your environmental card from you, brother. Something's wrong here. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Yeah, no question. It's incredible that they would do something like this. We went out there the day after the crash, the helicopter crash. We live on the bay here. We went out there and had a birthday party, you know, and for these son of a bitches to put some kind of nuclear waste or whatever they put in the water and not let the public know it, somebody ought to better get something done about it.
Right. Yeah, I saw many of parties going on out there.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, it's totally insane. And for them not to inform the public, you know, somebody needs something. I mean, it's insane.
Mm-hmm. And so, people out there wallowing, and they flew by, and They actually had their own workmates out there fumbling around in stuff.
Oh, they did, and some of them had suits on, and I was wondering what the heck the suits were on for.
Mm-hmm.
I did see that. You know, I thought it was picking up the gentleman that had died. But,
I
you know,
see.
It didn't just go on for that day. It went on for days and days and days.
Mm-hmm.
That they came around that and they were looking all around. I thought they were looking for parts to the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole time, they're just trying to make sure nothing's gotten in the water to hurt anybody. But, you know, I don't know what y'all have found out yet. But if something was in that water, there's going to be a lot of people that have been affected by this stuff.
Well, I suspect, and I wouldn't be offended if it were a group of people that filed a lawsuit.
Good.
I don't know, but I'm hoping. That's the only thing that's going to get their attention because
yep.
they won't answer questions. And
that's
and,
absolutely right.
Then
it just blows my mind.
Yeah.
I can't even believe something like they would let something like this happen.
Yeah.
Especially the government. It's the government.
If you see anybody walking around with little green booties over there, give me a call because I tell you, man, he might be lost and he may not be able to negotiate traffic crossing the street. So, you know.
Thank you so much for letting us, alerting us to that.
All righty. Well, thank you.
Have a great day.
All right.
Aloha.
Well, I don't know. I was just, you know, I saw those green booties on these guys, and they have their names on them, and I thought, well, you know what? I can see there's going to be a furtherance of a bigger lie. So even though I don't want to die and get sick, and prematurely, but I just figured I'm going to, even if we walk out there and we find it, I'm exposed. But I got to watch this completely. This is a rare opportunity to see how government, who were not told, who were lied to by another government agency, and then in turn this entity begins to apologize and ignoring the public who's really at risk. So I walked out there with them because I wanted to see if they were going to rely on any coordinates of GPS. They didn't rely on anything. They were aimlessly wandering through the sandbar in hopes that they didn't step on a coral to puncture their little green booties. And so my vote today is that if this is what, forget if they found, someone said, well, you know, if they find something, or you're going to look good, but if they don't find anything, it's not going to look too good to you. You're the boy who called wolf. Well, fine. It's not about me. It's about the boy who saw a pack of thieves, not wolves, thieves and liars and cheats, who went out to further lie to the public, who had already lied to the public. And in turn, then the burden is now shifting to me? No. You either got to be on drugs or just outright working for the man, if you think that. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Yeah, do you know if civilian helicopters such as the Bell helicopters and Huey's and all these civilian helicopters, we've had several helicopter crashes in the past year. Do you know if these units have the similar type of rotor monitoring devices aboard?
Man, you called at the wrong time. I was going to be writing and asking. Are you inside of my head or something? I thought the same thing because, you know, it makes sense that, but I don't know. I have a letter drafted and just trying to figure out, you know, the traffic safety board, whomever that has done these investigations.
It's sort of been, you know, in consideration.
But I will be asking, honestly, because immediately...
I'm a helicopter pilot. I'm wondering myself.
Yeah. But speaking of that, one of the other things now, and this is not fair to the military, but I want to be careful just how I say it. It is noted that some of the military choppers or craft also carry depleted uranium, as a stabilizer in the rotor. Did this vessel have that? I don't know. Major Krauss was too, he's too powerful and, you know, sit next to God. I think now I'm beginning to believe that if you look at the Last Supper, that picture there, you'll see his picture sitting there. But,
but I don't know. Interesting to know if these Hueys and the Bell helicopters are flying. We've had many helicopter crashes here.
Yeah.
Do they have a similar type monitoring device? That's the only question.
Yeah. Well, I am going to be inquiring, and if anybody else, a pilot out there knows, please give me a call. But I do know that it is the CH-53D. Is a vessel or craft that normally carries the IBIS, but others make too. And understand, some of this same sensor material is in some commercial airliners in gas tanks and what have you. But that's not if they're being used. If the issue is when we have a mishap, the transparency and the disclosing that information.
Well, I think I'll get back to that Conteway Bay and the fuel, possible fuel leaks in the bay. There's thousands of private motorboats. There's continual fuel leaks from the private boats that ply the waters of Conteway Bay.
That's why I'm careful to say it's not about military polluting anything. This is about containing it, specifically this incident and the failure and the lack thereof of transparency in the reporting by the part of Mr. Major Alan Krauss and the Environmental Department. That's all this is about, because if when I was in the Army, I would want safety. We didn't mind going to see the enemy, but I also wanted, if I had a chance of returning, I want to return safely if I ever deployed in that fashion. So it's not a dig on them and what they use. Whatever they need to use, my hat's off.
Well, helicopter crash, especially they're using jet fuel, which is evaporates much faster than standard fuel for motorboats and outboard engines.
And also, that's a rare occasion there, but the boats do put lead and mercury and all the other benzenes and everything else that was in the motor and the gas and the mixtures and the, so you know, and the leads directly into the water. So it's not about that part, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Anyway, I'm going to conclude on that, but we'll have more on this. And please keep calling for you active duty members. I applaud you, and my hat's off to you, and thank you, and I won't let you down, because I know you are fenced in there, and I know what a guy like Alan Krauss will do for you. You might be a lieutenant today. Tomorrow you'd be a nothing and you'd be out on your nose, because he's the gatekeeper. And he apparently is doing a good job of it, because no one, our legislators, are not perturbed or put out by his behavior and the lies that are being told time and time again, and the behavior that is being demonstrated there at Bellows and all under his watch. And he always got a good evasive tactic, as they call it in the military, block and bridge. Well, it don't work here. So, anyway, we're going to change a little discussion here right quick. And last week, I wanted to talk about just briefly, and before I could get to it, I ended up getting a thing. This is about the city now. I'm changing subjects, so that you know. Mayor Carlisle names three cabinet members, and unfortunately, they beat me to the punch. But in one of his members that he named, Carlisle named Kenneth Shimizu as Deputy Director of Facility Maintenance. Now, and then he goes on to say that Shimizu is President and CEO of Retail Solutions, Inc., and served as Deputy Director of the Environmental Services from 2005 to 2008. Do I see Sand Island in his future? Or in his past? Did he have anything to do with that, and now we're having a truck sludge and sewer across the islands? Kenneth Shimizu. Oh, he was with Takamura. Oh, and that's right. He was named by Mufi Hanum. That's right. my memory is serving me right now. I'm trying to get past the smell. So, but now, Carlisle, and this is why we need to give him the boot when it comes to voting. We don't need him, trust me, because he kept the same staff that Mufi Hanneman put in. Not only did he keep them, he renames them. And so he goes on to tell us this little tidbit about Shimizu. Shimizu is the president and CEO of Retail Solutions. You go look it up, folks, and see what he do. And served as Deputy Director of Environmental Services from 2005, as I said, to 2008. What Carlisle didn't tell you is that he had nestled in there at the MRRC, the Municipal Reference and Records Center, up until the time he was named, Ken Shimizu was on the payroll, either as an employee or as one of those fancy $31,000 personal services contracts that I'm trying to get from Carlisle, but he wants to charge me $31,000 for me to look at it so I can report to you who he's paying for friends and how many of those friends belong to Mufi Hanneman, the CEO, by the way, of the city and county of Honolulu. Tell you, Ken Shimizu, he is a direct friend of Ms. Haraguchi, and who is with the customer services. So Carlisle failed to tell us that Shimizu was already on the payroll. He told us about when he was there at the Environmental Services Department, but he didn't tell us that he was on payroll there serving as the archivist, because the other archivist retired. So now we're left without, at the library, the other person is out on sick leave or some technical work-related matter issues. So where do we stand? Gail Haraguchi, you see how this game's played? And so what a deal. Mufi Hanneman for congressman, and then Peter Carlisle as the mayor, and then you got the Bundas and all of those guys that for the heart. What a business. You know, Hanneman is right. He is a CEO. You know, that's how companies work. Companies, I said, not government, but apparently they're going to project the company philosophy. That's why I, to date, still believe that we should fire anybody that calls the government office customer services. We're not customers. We are owners. And what does owners do in their business? When they have bad players, they fire them. When they have CEOs that don't bring in the profit and the better the business, we fire them. So are you going to fire? We did fire the CEO, Hanneman. And are we going to rehire him? He just popped up out of nowhere from some hotel. He's going to manage that, and now he's back. I don't know if he is friends of Arnold Schwarzenegger or borrowed a bit from Schwarzenegger, but guys, watch out. That's why your bills go higher. That's why you can't afford to pay water, sewage, and all what's going on. That's why we see the Board of Water Supply driving around with baby car seats in their cars and going home and then turn around and tell you, we need some more money. That's why I have pictures and file complaints of guys sleeping from the Board of Water Supply in the park for 3 hours, sleeping so hard that I walk up within feet, drive with my car right next to them and take pictures of them sleeping. Yep, and they want to charge you. But the CEO is back, folks. He wants to run your business even better. So if I was you, I'd go and look to see what other CEOs are out there. Maybe there's some new kids on the block that have learned from a different economics teacher and all of that and just got out of the shower with where there was integrity. And I would say I would dang sure watch out for what you got here, because we're slowly sinking. And speaking of the city, I had the occasion to talk to some people closely tied, related, and associated with the lifeguard department. That incident out there, they asked me to talk about this briefly, and you can go to carolcox.com and find more detail. But I'm told at the Kahului, and sad to say, these young men died out there. They drowned. The soldiers drowned. And they tell me that they call management in the city and county's lifeguard division and told them, we have an irregular tide, a very high tide coming this weekend where everybody's going to be there. We need to man that station. They were ignored. I'm told that there's always someone there a week after Labor Day because of the high usage. It is a death trap. Poor signage out there, I'm told, and I was there and photographing. You can see some of the pictures. Poor signage. I'm told that if there were lifeguards there, half of their duties were to confront people, approach them, and say, look, you can walk out there now, but the return trip may be fatal or dangerous. Don't go. Discourage them to go. I was also told to let the public know that they've tried to get jet skis, and they've begged for a water boat or jet ski out there so that they could make an immediate rescue or and patrol the area. And management said no. This was recent now. So you can walk out there, and on your way back, halfway back, you're going to step in about 15 feet of water, and with that current coming through there, and the city knew this. And by the way, that's one of the few islands that is its own, I'm told, by the city, under their control. The others, Mokulus and whatever, comes under the state authority and what have you. So I see a big suit, and rightfully so. It won't bring back those soldiers. But imagine you pick up the book, the tour book, and you read it, and you're a tourist, and you come here, and you're going to hike out there, and no one's there to tell you, and you don't know the dangers, and this deadly allure is there beckoning you, come and see it. And there's a lifeguard tower, and there's nobody, no voice of caution or warning there. This is what a CEO does. He protects the people. He do everything. If Luffy Hanneman wants to be a CEO, if Peter Carlisle wants to be at the helm, fix these kinds of problems, because we are a water-based community. We invite people because of the beauty of the water and the recreational-based activities here, and that we won't even man our lifeguard stations. So I'm hoping, and so are the others that have contacted me, will in fact merge with the fire department, and I think we'll be better served in that fashion. And I'm told if you look at the lifeguard department, it's top heavy with captains and lieutenants and all of that, when in fact the real work that needs to be done, the men out there are struggling just to get an ear with the current management. So I'm sorry that others, these two young men, have perished out there, and it's unthinkable. And I hope that you and I, if we just keep sitting and tucking our tails, then others are going to get hurt. So let's do something. Speak up. Vote up. Don't vote out, I should say. So anyway, I'll see you next week, hopefully, and we'll talk to you again, and you take care, and thanks for joining.
This is KWAI on the Route 1080 on the AM dial.